Parshas Nosai, and also Shavuos. In Mitzvah Hashem, we have Shavuos in 3 days' time in Motzah Shabbos, in Mitzvah Hashem, and we would like to discuss a little bit the upcoming Yom Tov, and we'll see it is, to an extent, also connected to this week's Parsha. Let's begin by pointing out that upon examination you will notice that there are many, many, many references that compare the whole concept of Matan Torah, which is what we're about to celebrate, and the inyan of a chasana, a wedding. The most famous makor maybe is the Gemara in Brachos, which tells us on the pasuk Torah Tziva Lanu Moirasha Kehilat Yaakov, and the Gemara says, do not read it as Moirasha, rather Meurasa, which means betrothed. Torah Tziva Lanu Moirasa. The Torah is for us as a betrothing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we say every day when we put on our tefillin in the morning, Ve'erastich li ma'olam. We are betrothed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? Through the Torah. So you see that the connection that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the medium of the Torah is compared to that of a chosn and kala who are betrothed to each other. Another example would be the end of Tanis. It quotes the pasuk in Shir Ashirim. It says, B'yoyim chasunosoi. B'yoyim chasunosoi, says the Gemara, Ze matan Torah. So you can't really get clearer than that. Ze matan Torah, there was a wedding. And who got married to who? As it were, Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a pasuk in Kisisa, it says, Kechaloisoi. And Rashi there says, just like a kala, a bride, adorns herself with 24 different types of ornaments, so too a Talmud Chacham has to know 24 Sforim. There are 24 altogether in Tanakh. So you see, once again, the comparison between a chosn and kala and Torah. And here we come to our parasha, Parashas Nosai, at least here in Eretz Yisrael. Well, in the pasuk it says, Vayehi b'yoyim kalois Moshe. So Rashi there says, kalois is spelled without a kof, kalas, a bride. The day of the Mishkan being consecrated was like a kala hanichneses l'chupa. Now even though there the Torah is not talking about Matan Torah, but rather it's talking about the Hakamas HaMishkan, but the Ramban points out that the Hakamas HaMishkan was really a hemshech of Matan Torah, such that the erection of the Mishkan, which was a continuation of Matan Torah, is like a kala hanichneses l'chupa. There is a mechilta which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered Klal Yisrael the Torah. We did not approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu approached us, says the Medrash, Kechosen Shehu Yoytse Likras Kalo. I don't know if you've ever noticed that a chuppah, there is a minag, some, a makbid, that when the kala walks down the aisle, the chosn who's there waiting already takes a step towards the kala, to, as it were, bring her to the chuppah. That's what this medrash is saying. Kechosn sheyoytze likras kala. That's the reference to Matan Torah. The Marshal in Ksubas, another comparison, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekadesh As with the Torah. The Torah, as it were, was the ring, or the Ksuba. But the marriage was between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Har, the mountain, and the cloud above it was like the Chuppah. In fact, he says, a fascinating thing, so the reason why we break a glass under the chuppah, so some say it's zecher l'churban, he says, the Maharshal, I would suggest it's Zeicha to Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, so we break the glass. So much so, that very fascinatingly I found last night a Tashbetz. I told this Tashbetz to my son, Yisrael, who's a chosen at the moment. I said, you must learn this Tashbetz. Because the Tashbetz goes through all of the minhogim that we find with regard to chosen and a kala and a chuppa, and he says, Nekoit ha'iklola b'yodcha. Listen to this rule, says the Tashbetz. Kol ha'minhogim shel chosen v'shel kala. Where do we learn them from? Onu lemeidim mimatan Torah. Shehoyom mare, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mare atzmoi kechosen neged kalo. And indeed, he goes through all the various minhogim. He says, for example, what's the first word that the chosen says to his kalo? The very opening words that he's going to say to her upon married life is, he gives her a ring and he says, Hare at mekudeshes li, betabazu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. So the first word is, Hare. The first letter is, the hey of the word Hare. The hey is keneged chamisha chumshei Torah. What's the first word in the ksuba? We say, we begin the ksuba with the day of the week, we say b'yoyim ha'ravi or b'ravi or b'chamishi. So the first letter of the ksuba is the base. And the first letter of the Torah, Bereshis, is also a base. There are 50 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Shavuos. So too, it's brought down, the ksuba should be 50 shkolim, kesef yishkol. Many, 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 many references. In the Perek in Tehillim, it talks about Torah, koil Hashem b'koyach, koil Hashem b'mayim. There are 7 koilos mentioned, says the Marshal, keneged, the 7 brachos, sheva brachos. In fact, we make a brocha under the chuppah, Baruch Ato Hashem Sameach Choson al Hakalo, kunta sam girsois. Choson al Hakalo is Gematria Hatoira. And many, many of these references. Choson al Kalo is Gematria Taryag, is Gematria Moshe Rabbeinu. So we can see there seems to be, and there are others as well, there seems to be many, many, many references in Chazal that compare the whole relationship that was forged at the Zman of Matan Torah between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The comparison is to that of a Chosen and Kalo. So we'd like to explain maybe just for a moment or two, maybe a little bit about this Chasana that was Matan Torah. We read just a week or two ago, Parshas Bechukosai, Im Bechukosai Teilechu Ve'es Mitzvosai Tishmoiru, and it's one of the most famous Rashis in all of the Torah. What does Rashi say? That the words Im Bechukosai Teilechu, literally translated, if you will go in my chukim, in my statutes, and Rashi says it can't possibly be a reference to performing the mitzvahs, because the very next words are Ve'es mitzvosai tishmoiru. Says Rashi, those famous words, Elo she'tiyu amelim b'Torah. It means one has to be omol b'Torah, toil in Torah. And the big question is, firstly, where did Rashi see that as a translation of the words in Bechukosai Teilechu? But moreover, Parshas Bechukosai is all about the brachas, and ultimately the klalos, for Klal Yisrael. So why is that the first thing mentioned? Why are the brachas that will be bestowed upon Klal Yisrael, Why are they contingent on being omol b'Torah? That's the first thing mentioned in the entire parsha. Im b'chukoy saiteleichu, meaning if you toil in Torah, then you will be zeicha to all the brachas. There'll be gishmeichem be'itam and nasati yavula and everything you want. But it all depends on amelus b'Torah. Why is that? So we make reference over here to a very famous medrash. A medrash, this is actually to be found in the medrash Tanchumim, Parshas Noach, and we've mentioned this medrash a number of times over the years. Because it's the biggest question perhaps asked at this time of year. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to suspend a mountain, Kofa Aleim Harake Gigis, and threaten them, as it were, to the point of death? If you don't accept the Torah, Shom Tehi Kvurashem, but Klal Yisrael had already accepted the Torah, surely they had said, Nasa V'nishma. The famous question, and this is Tosfos' question in Shabbos in Daf Peches. Why did we need, Vayisyatzvu B'tachdis Ahor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dangles Har Sinai over Klal Yisrael like a barrel, and says, if you're makabel the Torah, that's wonderful, and if not, this will be your burial place. Why did they need that threat? They were surely more than happy to be makabel the Torah. They had after all said, Naaseh v'nishma. So this question, which is asked by Tosfos, is addressed at length by the Medrash in Parshas Noach. And I'd like to read you some of the words of this Medrash. The Medrash says, as we know, Torah consists of two parts. There is the finite, Chelek, which is Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Chamishi Chumshei Torah. And then there is the non-finite, the endless, Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Shebichsav is the finite Chelek, Torah Sheba'al Peh, the infinite. Says the Medrash, you will not find Torah Sheba'al Peh Eitzel Mi Sheyevakesh Oineg Ha'olam. If somebody thinks that one's entire raison d'etre in this world is to have one big Oineg, and that's the purpose of life, then Torah Sheba'al Peh will never be his thing. If somebody is interested, said the Medrash, in Taiva, the kovoid, the gedula, ba'olam hazeh, then Torah Sheba'al Peh is not for him. Where is Torah Sheba'al Peh to be found? Elo b'mi shememis atzmoi oleho. If somebody is prepared to work hard, if somebody is prepared to invest energy and effort and toil, omol ha-Torah, then he can have a shaychus to Torah Sheba'al Peh. Lefi sheloi koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris im Yisrael. The whole covenant, the whole chibur between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really through Torah Sheba'al Peh. Why? Says the Medrash, shehi kasha. Because it's very difficult. Everybody knows. You can open a chumash and read the pasuk and read the narrative and it's very easy. But Torah Sheba'al Peh, we all know, learning a sugya, struggling through the Havamina, the Maskana, what's the Kasha, what's the Teretz, and what's the Raya. It's hard. V'yesh bo tsa'ar gadol. It necessarily requires pain. But lefum tsa'ar agro. So much so, says the Medrash, that it can be compared to darkness. There's a pasuk in the Novi in Yeshaya. Ha'om ha'hoilchim b'choshech. The nation that walks in the dark, Ro'u Oir Gadol, will see the light. Which nation goes in the dark, says the Medrash? These are Balei HaTalmud, those who are toiling hard to understand the words of the Gemara. They're walking in the dark. We all know what it's like in the beginning of the Sugya, where we don't really clearly see the end, or the beginning, or understand what the Kasha is and what the Teretz is. Says the Medrash, that's like walking in the Choshech. Ha'om ha'holchim b'choshech. Until eventually the Pshat emerges and we see that brilliant light, the Oir HaTorah. Kineir mitzvah, the Torah oir. That's the ro'u oir gadol at the end. Says the Medrash, a tremendous chidush. Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, Torah shebichsav. The nasa v'nishma, the full acceptance on the part of Klal Yisrael, was referring to Torah shebichsav. That was the easy chilek. But Torah sheba'al peh, that's what they needed, as it were, to be coerced by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kofo Aleim Harke Gigis is not referring to Teresh Abichsav. That, indeed, they were more than happy to be Makabal, and that's when they said, Nasa Venishma. But the prospect of being Makabal Teresh Abal Peh, which requires Tsar, and that's tantamount to walking about in the Choshech, that was an altogether different proposition, and for that they needed to be forced, and that was the purpose of suspending Har Sinai above their heads, Kof Aleim Har Kegigus. That is the chiddush of this medrash. The medrash clearly makes that distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, Klal Yisrael were happy to accept, and they did so. Nasa v'nishma. Torah Shebaal Peh was the kofar aleim harke gigis. But the critical line in that medrash, not only has he answered the question of Tosfos, why did they need to be forced into accepting the Torah? Surely they had accepted it already, and the answer is they only accepted Torah Shebichsav and not Torah Shebaal Peh. But in addition, the medrash points out to us that the main covenant, the main bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael revolves around Torah Shebaal Peh. And this, in fact, is a Mefurash of Gemara. Loi koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris in Yisrael elo bishvil Torah Shebaal Peh. It's based on a pasuk. Ki al pi hadvorim ho'ele korati itcho bris. Al pi. Al pi means Torah Shebaal Peh. So here we need to ask ourselves a central question. What does that mean, a bris? What's a bris? A covenant. A bris is when two parties want to form an allegiance. So they have a covenant. And that way they are connected. We talk about the bris ben absarim and the bris mila. Krisas bris. The bringing together of two separate parties is formed by a bris. The bris is the covenant that creates that chibur. And ultimately, the test of strength of that chibur is to the extent that each of the two parties are willing, even at personal expense, or effort, or energy, or difficulty, to be connected to the other. How do I know if my good friend is really indeed my good friend? And the answer is, did he stick with me through thick and thin, or only when it's easy, or only when it's popular, or only when it works out for him? The person who's closest to me is the one who is with me at all times, whether easy or not easy. And that's why, if we want to measure the litmus test to be able to measure the strength of the kesher, of the bris, of the chibur between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore cannot be measured in terms of Torah Shebichsav. Why not? Because somebody who is prepared to read a chumash, you don't see that he's willing to be meister nefesh at personal difficulty for the sake of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Torah Shebichsav, you can open a chumash and read the words and you're yotzei lemitzvah. It's as easy as that. But Torah Shebaal Peh, which needs yegiya, which needs walking in the choshech, which needs tsar, as the Medrash says, that's where you see the bris. That's where the chibur between a Klal Yisrael and a Kodesh Baruch Hu is really forged. The krisus bris between us and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is through Omol HaTorah, which is the domain only of Torah Shebaal Peh. When we learn, for example, a sugya in the Gemara, and we begin with the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah very often is written in vague form. Occasionally the Gemara says is in fact words missing, chasurei mechseri. Sometimes the Gemara has to make a whole okimta, hocha b'may askinon. So here comes the $64 million question. All of this was Baal Peh until Rebbe came along and he wrote down Torah Shebaal Peh, Eis Las, Eis Lashem. There's an expression in Ivrit, Im Kvar, Az Kvar. If Rebbe was already writing down the Torah, so why didn't he write it down clearly? One extra word on occasion in the Mishnayos would have saved yourself a few daf of Gemara. Why indeed, if he was writing the Mishnayos anyway, so why indeed did he write them in cryptic form? Why didn't he add a word or two sometimes of explanation would have shed light on the whole Mishnah? And the answer is, because by writing down Torah Shebaal Peh, there was an enormous risk to the entire connection between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you write down Torah Shebaal Peh, and everything is clear and easy, where is the Omol HaTorah? In other words, where is the Bris? There was an enormous risk over here. The entire connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in jeopardy. Rebbe is doing us a favor? He's doing us the chesed by writing Torah Shebaal Peh? You're not doing us a favor. You might be severing the whole bris. So therefore, Rebbe says, I will on the one hand write down Torah Shebaal Peh, but I'll on the other hand have to write it in vague form, so that there will always remain the necessity for Omol HaTorah. That way, ensuring the bris. That way, ensuring that there's a chibur between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why, yes, the Mishnayos are written deliberately vaguely with a word missing, and you have to now explain and what's the case and what's the story and what's the machloikas and who's talking. Why? In order that we should forever have to be omol batoira, so that the bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed eternal. If you look in Parshas Bechukotai, there's one word mentioned again and again and again, more than any other word in that entire parasha. And you know what that word is? The word bris. V'hakimoisi es brisi. Nekemes nekama bris. V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov, es brisi Yitzchok. The Zoharti Lam Bris Rishonim, Parshas Bechukotai is the Parsha of the Bris. Parshas Bechukotai is HaKadosh Baruch Hu laying down the terms and conditions for the Bris. In which case, we have just answered our question. In Bechukotai Teilechu, says Rashi, Shetiu Amelim Batoiro. Where did Rashi see that? And why are the brochas contingent on that? And the answer is, because this is the parasha of the bris. The Torah is laying down the rules, the terms and conditions for the bris, the covenant to be forged between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So of course, the first thing that has to be mentioned is Omol HaTorah. And that's the domain of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why it's mentioned first. All of the bracha is for keeping the bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are completely and utterly contingent to the extent that we are Omol BaTorah. And that's why it says, Im Bechukotai Teilechu, Shetiyu Ameilim BaTorah. The Omol HaTorah, the extent to which we are prepared to work hard and be Moisa Nefesh for the Torah, that's the extent, that's the way that you can measure the strength of this covenant, of this connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we come back, therefore, to where we began, we said, if you look in Chazal HaKadoshim, there seems to be reference upon reference upon reference, comparing Matan Torah to a Chosan and Kala. I think now we understand. Because it is through the Torah that indeed we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as a Chosan and Kala are connected. V'hoyu l'bosar echad, they become one. What is Kiddushin all about? Hariat mukudeshes li. What does that mean, mukudeshes? Doesn't Kiddushin sound very similar to the word hektish? Tosfos, right in the beginning of Masechtas Kiddushin, says it's identical to hektish. What is hektish? When you are makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, what in fact you are saying is, this now belongs strictly to the Beis HaMikdash, and nobody else must have connection to it. When I'm a Kadesh and Isha, she is now connected to the husband, and by definition, to nobody else. When we were Mekabel the Torah, we forged a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the exclusion of all other nations. So much so, that there's a Medrash that says, on the post that we mentioned before, Torah Tziva Lonu Moirosha, we said, don't read that word as Moirosha, but rather as Moirosha, we became betrothed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to the incredible words of the Medrash. Shaha Torah Mu'urosa Hi Yisrael. And now, the Eishes Ish Le'umoysa Oilam. The Torah became strictly out of bounds for all other nations. Just like an Isha who becomes Mekudeshes to her husband is now out of bounds for all other men in the world without exception, that's what happened to the Torah as well. Betrothed to Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael only, and an Eishes Ish, it became now out of bounds for all others. Matan Torah was indeed a chasana. We became connected to the Torah, and by extension, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think we all know the famous words of the Zohar, Kutsha Brichu v'Yisrael v'Yiraisa Chadhu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael and the Torah are one. That triangle. We connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the medium of the Torah. That was the wedding. That was the chasana of Matan Torah. And that indeed was the Krisas Bris that took place at Matan Torah. Specifically, as we've explained, through the medium of Torah Sheba'al Peh. When we accepted the Torah and had the rest of Torah forced upon us, the reason why that was forced upon us was in order to give us Torah Sheba'al Peh. Why so? In order to connect us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Torah Sheba'al Peh warrants tsar, warrants, requires omol v'yegia, which as the Medrash says is not easy. But precisely because it's not easy, that is the forging of the bris. Because when it's all too easy, there's not much connection. The person who's most dedicated, most closely connected to you, is the one who is with you at all times, through thick and through thin. And therefore when we look forward now, Be'ezus Hashem, to Chag Matan, and the minhag is on Leil Shavuos we stay up as much as we can to learn specifically Torah Sheba'al Peh. We have to realize that learning Torah Sheba'al Peh is celebrating the chasana between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it may well be that on that night of Shavuos we can learn a daf of Gemara or one line of Gemara, and it might well be difficult. But precisely if indeed it is difficult, one has to understand and appreciate that there has one thereby strengthened the connection between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so too, every day of the year. Whenever we learn Gemara, and we all know what it's like, we struggle sometimes to understand the difficult daf of the Gemara. We have to know that the more we invest, the more we put in energy, the more we put in tsar, the yoga, and an omol ha-toyram, the more we have, by definition, strengthened the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is what this Yom Tov is all about. So, Be'ezus Hashem, may we be zeicha, Mr. Hashem, to have not just an enjoyable Shavuos, but more important, an uplifting Yom Tov, in which we feel that connection, where we forge that bris to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the connection between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam through the medium of the Torah, and specifically through the medium of Torah Shebaal Peh and the Omol HaTorah that is required. I wish everybody a good Shabbos and a good Yom Tov.